Welcome to Gardening Naturally with Jeff Ferris. Call or text Jeff now with your gardening and landscape questions, 512-836-0590.
Hey, good morning, gardeners. It looks like it's going to be an interesting morning. The weather is going to warm up, and it's supposed to be a decent day. Little chance of rain, partly overcast. Remember, overcast days are excellent to do new plantings or transplantings because you're moving a plant and it's not having to deal with brutal sun the minute it gets into a new location. So this is a good time to go out there and move things around if you have to. Or to maybe you want to replace a bunch of annuals and you want to put something else in. Good day to do that. Temperatures are going to be more than reasonable. Unfortunately, it's just teasing us with rain. And we need so much more. Which brings up the eclipse. Is it going to be overcast? That's the million-dollar question. We get it to come over Austin. We get an opportunity to see a total eclipse. Now, that's not unusual. They happen about every 18 months. So this isn't some apocalyptic event. Should not consider it that way by any means. We get a total eclipse somewhere on the planet about once every 18 months or so. The orbital mechanics of the sun, earth, and moon just come around, and we got lucky this time that it's going over our area. And of course, the weather may not cooperate. That's life. Not anything we can do about it. Not a thing. So cross your fingers, be ready, because even if it is a little overcast, the clouds could be kind of scattered. So you may not get the entire eclipse. You may not get totality as long as you should, but you should get you should get views through random cloud covering. So we have that to look forward to. We also have rain to look forward to. Monday, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, there could be an increase in rain. Desperately need it. So we cannot complain. We need every drop that'll fall. I was out planting a new tree to replace one that just aged out. And we cut it down and put in a new one. Now, I was putting in a 5-gallon tree because, I'm patient. I'll let them grow up. And I was able to dig the hole pretty easy, and I wasn't even 5 feet away from the old tree trunk. I was able to dig to the depth I needed to. I had to cut out a few old roots. Wasn't a big deal. But we got the tree planted yesterday. And of course, the weather has been super windy. That is not helped out my new tree. It's out there wiggling pretty good. So I do have stakes in the ground. I just haven't tied them up to the tree yet. And I'm not sure what I'm going to use for a material to tie them with. Now, I have some clothesline, you know, the old-fashioned nylon string. It's not string. It's almost tubing. And I have plenty of that, I think, and I can tie it to the tree. I also have some soaker hose that has not been repairable. I gave up on repairing it. I replaced it with a new one. So I'm going to cut pieces of the soaker hose, route my tie material through it, so it's going to act like a bumper against the trunk of the tree. It's not going to allow it to get too tight, and it's not going to, you know, rub off bark or anything like that. And I have three stakes because this was a fairly tall but rather skinny tree. So I'm going to use three stakes, and it's going to be staked and tied lightly. Remember, you do not tie super tight against the tree, because if you're not paying attention, as the tree grows, you'll girdle it. And that will not be good. That will not be good for the tree. So it will be loose, but it will prevent the tree from moving too much. I don't want it bending, and I don't want it leaning really bad. I'd like it to grow straight up and down. Hoping for the best. The tree looks good. It's only been in the ground a day, so I don't even get a chance to consider, you know, what's transplant shock going to look like. But slightly amended the soil, a light general purpose fertilizer, mixed it all in there together, and already topped the tree with leftover with mulch that I've had for years now. It's been breaking down. Now I just have to address the bit that the wind is blowing it all over the place, and I'd rather not have that. I don't need it to grow at an angle, and I don't want to take a chance that the wind, because it can throw it around so much, may break the tree. I planted it in a spot that gets a lot of breeze, so this is my fault. Normally, I might not even consider staking it, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to keep it happy. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. Roberta, I see you there. If you can hang on, I got to take a quick break. I'll catch you on the other side.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone. This is Roberta. What can I help you with?
Thank you very much for taking my call. I would like to know, can I use my pistachio shells for mulch around my tree?
Yep.
Instead of just throwing them in the trash, can I use them for mulch?
Yes, you can. And we do that with pecan shells. There are places that process pecans, and they sometimes give away, sometimes sell pecan shells as mulch. Same idea. It is the shell from the nut, and it's no big deal. It will not hurt the soil, and if you got enough of them, it should look good.
Okay. That's what I needed to know. I try to recycle everything I can.
Good. And this is a good way to do it. So, yeah, go ahead and use them.
Okay. Do I have time for another question?
Yes, ma'am.
My tomato plants and my potato plants, both of them are doing real well. I have one tomato plant, an early girl, which I usually have great results at, but some of the little branches on the plant, all the leaves are all curling up. It's the only one I have. I've listened to you. I've made sure this year my tomato plants are spaced far apart so that wind can go through them and stuff like that. And then my potatoes, I have three potato plants that the leaves are all curling up on them. And same thing, I have them spaced pretty far apart too. I don't know what the leaf curling up is and what I would do about it.
Okay, first off, there's a long list of things that can be causing this. Let's start with the simple stuff. Water can be part of the problem. Too much or too little can cause the leaves to curl. So check how, especially drainage, because tomatoes need lots of water. But you want to check and make sure you've got good drainage and they're not staying in like a swamp. Number two, pick off one of the curling leaves of the tomato and turn it over, really look close and see if you can see any little bug. And I mean little bug. A magnifying glass may help. There's a host of little bugs, from mites to thrips, aphids, on and on and on, that can be attacking the plant and making the leaves curl. Either one of those is obviously a problem, but you can't address it till you figure out which one it is. And yeah, it's totally possible that only one tomato is bothered, even though you got a whole bunch of them in the same garden bed. One tomato could suddenly be super picky. Also, one tomato could be the only one that's being attacked by bugs. So you got a couple of things to look at here before you can figure out what's causing the problem.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that very much. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you for the call.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Listen to you all the time. Thank you so very much.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go. Who's next? Let's go to Jay. Jay, what can I help you with?
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
A lovely day.
Yeah, it is a lovely day. Hey, I've got a two-part question. One's a more general question. One's more specific. I think I know the answers to both, so I'm going to look into confirmation. So let's start with a general question. I'm having a little bit of a disagreement with my landscaper because, you know, I've gotten some work done with some stonework, and I'm telling him that the best time to plant in the planters, the flower beds that I've actually put in, is the fall, because that actually gives it three mild seasons to grow. These are probably going to be perennials or bamboos and things like that. But he claims that spring is the better time to go. So I kind of think it's the fall, but I wanted to kind of check with you. That's the first question. Let me ask this two-part question, and then I can put myself in here. The second one is, we're also going to be going out of town for about 6 weeks in the summer, and I don't mind doing like an automatic irrigation type of thing, but if I were to plant anything now in some of those beds, would it actually not be a good idea if I'm not around just to see that they're growing okay?
Okay, you got a catch-22 problem here.
Okay.
First off, for the most part, especially shrubs and trees, yeah, we would like to plant them in the fall. For the reason that you're mentioning is that I don't have to babysit them as much. We assume cooler temperatures and we assume more rain. so they can get established quicker. Technically speaking, the perennials, like the shrubs and the trees, can be planted any time of the year. The advantage of doing it in the spring, well, I don't know if there's a significant advantage, but the deal here is when you plant kind of commits the amount of effort you got to put into it. I could plant a tree in the middle of July when it's 110 degrees out, so long as I provided mulch and water and things like that so it could handle the weather. That means I got to spend more time out there taking care of it. So you're both right. If you're going to be gone, yeah, if you're going to be gone for a while, yeah, and you haven't put in an automated watering system, well, then I would
wait
till
fall. I was thinking
about
a soaker hose, but that's more manual, right? Because supposing the soaker hose breaks, then we're kind of out of luck. That's the other problem.
A brand new soaker hose should give you about 2 years worth of good service. Some of them will tell you, hey, we're guaranteed for 7 years. Yeah, I've never seen that happen. But if it's a new hose, you'll probably be okay. And you can get timers now where you can program them so you don't have to go out there and turn it on manually.
Right, right. So I could go either way, I guess, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, some of your flowers, that's a different story. Depending on the flowers you put in, well, if you're filling it with zinnias, yeah, this isn't a bad time of the year. If you're filling it with, of course, I can't come up with an example now. You'll have to really kind of figure out what the flower is and what you're doing with it. Because there's no doubt about it, there are flowers that can't handle summer. So planting them in the spring doesn't really matter. They're going to wind up getting beaten up by the weather anyway.
The last couple of years, the winters have been unpredictable. That's the other problem, right? I mean, it's just like you get the sudden freezes and that kind of, I mean, the perennial should be okay, but for some reason, you know, they seem to be killing plants that we would think would get through the winter generally for us.
Yep. Yep. Congratulations. Welcome to Texas. We are definitely getting bizarre weather here. And by default, it's unpredictable. So the best you can do is plant correctly and give it the environment it needs. If it means you got to water it, do so. If you need to mulch it heavily to get it through the heat, do so. So you get to decide. You're both right. But it would be easier on you. Yeah, it'd be easier on you to not have to worry about putting in irrigation if you waited till fall.
Yeah, that's what I'm leaning towards right now, actually, honestly. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, I don't know if I'd look at the empty flower beds and say, yeah, now I should just do it. But we'll see. But thank you for that. I appreciate the insight.
You bet. And Jay, thank you for the call. Ginger and Marie, I see you there. It's the bottom of the hour, and I got to take a break for the news. I'll catch you on the other side.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone. This is Ginger. Ginger, what can I help you with?
Hi. I heard your conversation with the lady about the pistachio shells, and I eat a lot of pistachios. And I tried composting them, and they just didn't seem to break down. And I thought about mulching with them, but I was worried about the water sitting in them for mosquitoes to breed in. And another question is, about the salt, with their salt. I get them unsalted, but if someone had salted ones, would that be too much salt?
It probably wouldn't be too much salt. That's a good comment, though, because you can get them salted. As for the mulch and rain and things like that, keeping moisture in the shell itself, they really would do better if you can, like, crush them a little bit. Because that way you don't make that little cup and it doesn't leave a spot for the water to collect.
I hadn't thought of that. I thought to grind them with a shredder, but that they're too little for that.
Throw them in a burlap bag and drive your car back and forth over the bag a little bit.
Awesome idea. Thank you.
You bet. That should help them be smaller pieces for you. And that may actually get them to break down faster in your compost, too.
True. Yeah. Because oak leaves break down faster if you can break them up.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed the eclipse. Maybe we'll have some sunshine. Maybe. Probably not.
Let's go to the phone. This is Marie. Marie, what can I help you with?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am?
My 300-year-old post oak tree is dropping bark, and I just wonder what I need to do about that.
Couple of things here. As a tree grows, the outer bark is replaced. So it's possible it's just shedding some bark. If the pieces come off and the underside of it is green or something like that, if it isn't like fresh bark underneath, your only real solution is to sit and call an arborist so that they can determine there are a handful of diseases that can cause that. Some of them are pretty trivial. Some of them are a risk to the tree, but I can't determine it just because I can't see it, for one. It is not unusual. It is not at all unusual for oak trees to drop bark. For some reason, there's a lot of people texting me about X tree is shedding bark. That happens. Trees shed bark. The question becomes, is it natural? Is it environmental? Or is it possibly a pest or a disease causing it? That's where we get into trouble. So this is where an arborist can really come out and diagnose what's wrong with the tree. And you know, there's still maybe nothing wrong with the tree. You may have nothing to worry about. So look at it as a good thing to get a health checkup on a tree, especially one that old.
Well, this is I've been here 30 years. This is the first time that it's done this. And that's why I'm concerned. It's a beautiful tree. It's, you know, dropping tons of pollen right now.
Yes. I can tell you every tree in Austin is dropping pollen right now.
Okay, well, thank you. I will look into that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, for the age of that tree and the value and all of the other things wrapped up, at the very least, you could get a good health checkup for the tree to know that it could be there another 30 years for you. I am getting a lot of texts about people concerned about the bark of your trees. As the trees grow, it will shed bark. So by default, that is not a bad thing. You can't, the bark is peeling off. Okay, don't panic. It happens. They can look weird when they do it. Some trees actually are supposed to shed their bark. Look at a lace bark elm. By default, lace bark. It comes off all the time. Looks like puzzle pieces as it breaks off. So don't panic. If you are truly concerned, call an arborist who can come out and actually put eyes on the tree. And they can tell you, they can try to tell you what's going on. Folks, I got to take a quick break here. Susan, I see you there. If you can hang on, I'll catch you on the other side.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Phone. This is Susan. Susan, what can I help you with?
Hi, good morning. My landscaper is telling me that I'm looking for shrubs, and he's suggesting red-tip photinias and take out a large branch off a live oak to open the canopy so that they have more sunlight. And I can't remember it, but it seems to me that red-tip photinias are not in favor anymore.
That's absolutely true.
Thank you. Why?
I want to word that a little bit differently. They can grow great here. And so long as you don't try to shape them, so long as you don't take and go, oh, I want them only 6 feet tall, they can get rather large and they can really do well. However, they are susceptible to a disease that is annoying at the very least and makes them look bad. They usually overcome it, but they can get it every year. And there are so many better choices than photinias. I'm going to give you a website. It's nothing but plants that grow here. Almost all of them are going to be native plants, and they can easily replace a photinia. You need to go to Grow Green, growgreen.org.
Okay, Grow Green.
Right.
And all right, so could I... And will there be some evergreen shrubs that I won't have to take this branch off of the live oak? I hate to cut. I mean, it's a good size branch. It's a limb, probably almost a foot in diameter. And I'm just, but the tree leans. And part of the reason he tells me it leans is because it doesn't get enough sunlight from the other trees around it. I do have several trees in the backyard, fortunately or unfortunately. So I need to find something that is A, evergreen, and B, doesn't need a lot of sunlight. Is there such an animal?
There are lots of them. That guide will have all kinds of suggestions for you. They all will grow here, and yes, you can find one where you go. This is evergreen. This is the height I want. And it will handle the amount of sun you have available to it.
Super. Okay. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks for the call, Susan. Yes. Cannot emphasize enough. Cannot emphasize enough. The Grow Green Guide. It is not every possible plant that you could plant here in Central Texas. But it is a list of very reliable ones, very consistent ones. It is listed with hints like, this is a plant that needs full sun. This is a plant that blooms in the winter. It is evergreen. It is deciduous. It is something that requires low water. That is a big deal about this guy. They work really hard to try to find plants that don't need a ton of water or care for that matter. So many of these plants are native. That also reduces things like you don't have to fight pests as bad. You don't have to worry so much about the summers that we get around here. And the guy will even have references for, hey, this is a deer resistant plant, or this one here is an annual. They have annuals listed in it also. So start with that guide. It is training wheels for picking out your landscape. It will really help you make some good decisions. People pick photinias because they grow so fast, and they can be incredibly industrious. I had a photinia that I tried to remove. So very early in the spring, we cut it flush to the ground. That just made it mad. By the fall, it was 6 feet tall again. I've been fighting that thing, trying to come back for a couple years now. We finally won the battle and got rid of it. They can work specifically for the purpose you need. I need something fast. I need something dense, and it would really be nice if it was evergreen and pretty. Photinias can do that. But there's a lot of issues with them, and they are not the only plant that falls into those categories. There are plenty of native Texas plants, and this Grow Green guide has wonderful references for it. You go online and you'll find growgreen.org. You go there and it will say trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, flowering plants. It even has great recommendations on turf grasses. Start there. It basically will give you a great reference to begin if you're looking to do your own landscaping, or if you're looking and you and your landscaper are disagreeing on certain plants. That does happen. I remember a landscaper who told somebody that they should plant this certain plant. That's not available in Texas. So sometimes we have disagreements. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. I got to take a break for the news at the top of the hour. I'll catch you on the other side.